This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Tuesday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Did the wind, I mean, my goodness, it looked like you guys were getting real serious issues yesterday, Jensen. How'd you guys hold up?
Well, we're going to need some repairs. So if you joined us yesterday, we were going through it. Little Armageddon here yesterday. Wind gusts upwards of 60 miles an hour. Pretty sustained. When we got off the show, thank goodness we did not lose power, but came outside. The gate to our backyard got blown away as far as the lock on the back, so I got to repair that. And then I went out to grab the mail. Now, mind you, Dave, we went from, what, 50s all the way down to, I think, 18 degrees. Wind chill has us at 2 degrees this morning. And so I run down the mailbox. I turn around, and the siding – or at least the molding on our garage is halfway blown off. And the problem is it's aluminum, but it's sharp. Okay. So we're texting our neighbors, like, please keep the kids inside. Cause we have two little ones that are next to us with our family that it's our neighbors. They're like, we know you want to get outside, but probably don't because it looks like we're north of the wall in Game of Thrones. And we just want to make sure everyone's protected. The crazy part, Dave, people's like furniture and cushions that are in their front blown away. Like the street looked like it really looked like the Walking Dead. Just something occurred. So fortunately, we've got some help in the neighborhood. They're coming over after the show, and we'll see what it is. But hey, the wonders of homeownership in Northeast Ohio when you're 1,300 feet above sea level, and if that is what 60 miles an hour looks like. Buddy, I have no idea what it's like to try and ride out a hurricane because triple saw yesterday, and oh my goodness, just ridiculous.
Well, we're glad you're okay. We're glad you're back on with us this morning. I did try to navigate walking in with my groceries in the dark, and I crashed into my dishwasher, which I had not closed the door from the morning. So that was on me, and yes, the groceries went flying. And I was like a wide receiver over the middle. And I dropped the football. I was embarrassed by myself that I had to pick all that stuff up. But you and I are back. We're both safe, thankfully, able to do this show. We had a major flip of numbers overnight that we're going to get to here. Great show lined up here on this Tuesday. Matt Youman is going to join us here this hour. Of course, Greg Peterson, get his idea on hoops for the day, what he likes in college basketball. JVT is going to join us as well, co-host of Money Moves. We got news on that as well. And our Wednesdays with Wes moved up to Tuesday because he's on the road for New Year's, going all the way out there to Pasadena. So we'll get his thoughts on Indiana and Alabama and beyond. But what a shakeup last night in Monday Night Football. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Okay, Rams lose, 27-24. We all get that, and we knew, all right, well, they went on one of their last two. They're still going to get the 5 seed, but now that is in peril. There's news here for the Buccaneers with this Falcons win. We'll get the particulars of the game, but this is the massive shift that we wake up to today. Matthew Stafford, if you did not watch the game last night, when the game began, it was well over a $2 betting favorite to win MVP. You wake up today, and Matty Stafford is plus $3 to win MVP. Drake May is minus $4 to win MVP after that three-pick performance by Stafford, including a pick six in a three-point upset loss when you were seven-point favorites. I know it's 1 out of 17, but Jensen, it did look bad on Monday Night Football in that standalone spot. We talk about it. Sometimes that influences voters. It certainly has influenced the betting market.
This is shades of a handful of years ago, right? Brock Purdy, Lamar Jackson, the Week 17 Monday Night Football showdown where Lamar and the Ravens just absolutely blew away the Niners and Brock Purdy, and that was enough for Lamar to leapfrog Brock Purdy en route to his MVP. What I will find captivating is, and again, some of these people that vote on the MVP need to have their credentials and responsibilities revoked, because some of their criteria, if they even watch all the games, is null and void. What I find fascinating, the opponents and the quarterbacks that Drake May will have defeated, and again, the Patriots will be going up against another backup quarterback here to finish their regular season. And then what Matthew Stafford has done. And so how can 1 week really flip that? Again, this is why we don't get involved in these markets. It is ridiculousness of the highest order. And so fascinating to see what the rationale will be from these voters, especially with how they vote.
I mean, that is a $5 move in one night. That's astounding to me. So again, if we're not going to do the totality, we're just going to go by what we saw last. Woof. Look, I get it. Drake May looked fantastic against the Jets. The numbers, you can still construe those how you want to, because some of the advanced metrics really do like Drake May better. And some of the standard numbers would look to the Matty Stafford side. Fascinating ramp scenario, by the way. They can still get that 5 seed with a win and the Seahawks beating the Niners on Saturday coming up here. They're going to get the 6 if the Niners beat the Seahawks. So that could be a very important loss there. And now, by the way, double jeopardy for the Buccaneers, because if Atlanta now beats the Saints next week, it doesn't matter that Panthers and Buccaneer game all of a sudden. The Panthers will win the NFC South. Fascinating there. We don't know what's going to happen on Sunday night when the Steelers and the Ravens play, and the winner's going to win the AFC North there. And Lamar Jackson, the Great Eight, still to be determined whether or not he's going to play. Let's hear from Coach Harbaugh on the status of his star quarterback.
Yeah, well, it's to be determined. You know, I mean, still he's coming off a very serious injury, and he's working at it. Saw him in here today working at it. So I think we'll know a lot more on Wednesday.
All right, so we're going to wait till Wednesday. That'll be tomorrow, so New Year's Eve Day. We'll find out if he's going to be able to play. Now, I don't think he's playing coy. I don't think this is one of those deals to, you know, keep the Steelers guessing as to who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, Jensen, if he can play, he's got to play, right?
This is going to be one of the decisions that not only in hindsight next week will be sifted through win, lose, or draw. I think it will also have tentacles beyond this. So, Dave, let's play it out. If Lamar Jackson doesn't play and the Ravens lose, does Lamar Jackson suit up again for the Baltimore Ravens in his career? That would lend me to believe that, you know, there is some sort of underlying feel here that you're going to move on at some point. Is that time now? And listen, we talked to your boy Ovi yesterday. When you got to go with the hot hand at the end of the year, if it's the backup, it's the backup. And I got to tell you and I agreed, what we saw in Green Bay from Tyler Huntley was an offense that had juice, an offense that was productive. And I honestly feel at this point, the Steelers know that Lamar's not healthy. And so there is credence to that of, we'd rather face Lamar because he can't do what he's capable of doing. You know that Tyler Huntley is at least as 100% healthy or as close to it as humanly possible. So this is like kind of the soap opera of the NFL season now because of what is on the line here with the final regular season game to decide the AFC North.
Absolutely fascinating to see what's happening there. And we did not see this again. We all know we saw the knee to the back, but I don't think any of us thought that. I know John Harbaugh felt like he could still play that second half, let alone miss the next game and possibly miss the next game. So that would be 2.5 weeks if he could not go Sunday night against the Steelers. Justin Herbert is not going to go. He could go, but they're not going to sit him, not going to play him. They're going to sit him because there's really no point to play Justin Herbert. Let that body recharge, and it really needs to. 12.5-point favorites now for the Broncos. Jensen, look, Jim Harbaugh is one of those guys that kind of, hey, they're going to play football. They're going to keep score. We're going to play. I think discretion is the better part of valor here.
You would think. And just kind of looking at where the potentials are here. Of course, a Denver win means that they lock up the 1 seed. And that also means that if the Chargers, again, these guys are playing each other, so that means the Chargers would drop down if indeed somehow the Buffalo Bills are not able to beat the New York Jets. Now, hey, decide what you want here on this part. We talked about it yesterday. You get into some hairy situations when you're trying to quote unquote pick your opponent. But the Chargers, if they drop to the 7th seed, go on the road to Foxborough. And boy, what a matchup that would be. Because essentially, Dave, that's a bye week, if you will, for Herbert and all the important guys. Because I cannot envision that Jim Harbaugh puts any of the other big-time talent in harm's way, at least for an extended period of time. Probably want to keep, you know, that cadence, kind of keep that game flow. But, man, you know, here you go, potential MVP Drake May. You haven't beaten really a lot of good quarterbacks all year. Now you got to do it after Justin Herbert's had at least a week and then some to be able to prepare for you.
That would be a fascinating matchup. But, again, it gets back to the point of we were talking about yesterday. Do you really want to pick who we want to play and try to slot right. that out by winning or losing? I think now it's just about, no. We've got to play regardless next week. And if I can get my quarterback more time to be healthy, then that's going to be the better strategy to go. Trey Lance will get the start of that game here. And again, the Chargers are 12.5-point underdogs there. I do wonder how that'll affect, let's say, the Bills, 7-point favorites against the Jets. Will they rest Josh Allen knowing his foot injury? And certainly the Patriots now, Drake May, are we just playing for an MVP here? Because you don't assume the Broncos are going to lose to Trey Lance. And that would give the one seed, as you mentioned, to Denver. All right, when we come back, there's so much more to get to, including Monday Night Football. Also, big news out of Notre Dame and their head coach. And really, some issues here for the Denver Nuggets and their star, Nikola Jokic. Get all those changing numbers. Oh, my goodness. And yes, if you're waking up with that Matt Stafford MVP ticket, you're going, what in the world just happened to my ticket? We'll explain all of that when you come back with us right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. We talk all the time about making smart bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. From premium podcasts and connected TV to data-driven digital campaigns, they deliver measurable ROI. And as VSiN's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media is going to give you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com. Appreciate everybody reaching out on X. Going to try to figure out what's going on here. If you're struggling to hear us on SiriusXM channel 158, we understand. We're going to try to get that straightened out for you. If you're listening on your app, hopefully, out there, or you're watching on VSiN.com or the VSiN Watch app, we appreciate you this morning. And, of course, on FanDuel Sports Network. Let's get back to some more news and headlines on this Monday. And there is big headlines out of South Bend, Indiana, because Jensen Lewis, if you're a Giants backer, you're going, man, no disrespect to Mike Kafka. He's not going to be the guy next year. So let's go get Marcus Freeman out of South Bend. They're not even in a conference. They're upset they're not in the college football playoff. This is the time to go get him. Nope. He has said he's not leaving Notre Dame. So he's going to put all those rumors to bed. I got to believe, Jensen, you know how this works. When you don't squash a rumor right away, maybe the university got involved to make sure Marcus Freeman isn't leaving.
This is a great, great job by Marcus Freeman's representation and knowing that the payday has really been there since James Franklin and Penn State had parted ways. And it feels like, you know, the old Oprah, episode, you get a raise and you get a raise and you get a raise. Marcus Freeman probably cashed in the most of any of these coaches and probably outside of Lane Kiffin and his deal with LSU, remember, I believe it was Kirby Smart, upwards of, what, 13.2, 13.3 million per year. Do not be shocked when we eventually find out what the compensation is going to be for Marcus Freeman, that he has either supplanted, you know, Lane Kiffin, Kirby Smart, Ryan Day, or he is now amongst that company as the highest paid or one of the highest paid head coaches in big time college football. Right move here from Notre Dame. They got about as much money as they need from donors and also from alum. And let's face it, Dave, don't you think that the landscape around college football, what it is, what just happened to Notre Dame,
yeah,
that you want the guy there? I mean, you do not need any more chaos than already happened. And so he gets so many guys to want to play for him. He's great in recruiting. I mean, this was a no-brainer for me. You said it months ago. If you need it from the donors, they'll give it to you because they love guys that they want. And as soon as they don't want guys, they'll write the check to get them out. So good job by Notre Dame bringing Marcus Freeman back for the foreseeable future.
It's funny because I think media and fans sometimes get caught up in the money, and you and I don't. We go, trust you me, there's money. If they want Marcus Freeman to be the head coach of Notre Dame, they're going to open up the coffers for him, and he's going to be the guy there in South Bend. It's not going to be about money for some of these programs. They want you or they don't want you. Everybody wants to watch Nikola Jokic play. We might not be able to see that. We don't know for how long. He exited yesterday's game with a knee injury. He's going to have an MRI today, which is good. You want to figure out what's going on there. We had a major odd shift here in the MVP because of this. SGA now goes to a minus 250 betting favorite, and Jokic drifts all the way to plus 450 as the second betting choice. Luka Doncic, 5-1, 450 in some markets as well. This has nothing to do with performance, all about injury and how long the Joker could be out. They lose the game yesterday as well. Played 19 minutes, had 21 points when he went down. Boy, you hate to see this from maybe the game's best player right now. I know SGA is right there, and other guys are great in this league, but this is one of the perennial MVP candidates that we have.
I mean, we talk most valuable player in so many of these different sports. Is there a singular person that is more important to their team than Nikola Jokic No. is to the Denver Nuggets? I mean, Dave, you're looking at 125.7 points per game this year. Congrats to everyone who tailed us yesterday on the over on that Heat and Nuggets game. Never even a sweat on the over, 244 and change. So the problem, and it's a monumental problem, is the usage and how the offense goes through Jokic and his facilitation, right? He's a triple-double machine. And now who does it fall on? He's been the first and second options in lots of different ways. So here we go. Depending on what their injury timeline diagnosis is, Dave, they're in a portion of the schedule where they've got a boatload of Eastern Conference opponents. Remember, they played Miami yesterday. They had Orlando over the weekend. They've got Toronto, who's been really good. Monster comeback from the Raptors last night over the Magic. Mm-hmm. They're on the road against the Cavaliers, who have been kind of dicey as of late. On the road against the Nets, they should handle. On the road against the 76ers, and then on the road against the Boston Celtics before they come home. So depending on how long he's out, at least for the next week or so, you have some opponents that you should be able to handle or at least be able to tread some water against.
They're still the second betting choice to win. Right now we have OKC to repeat as even money, to repeat as champions there. Denver is plus 750 right now. But this will be something to watch. That MRI will be big news today. Hoping for a clean scan here, but obviously cause for concern when you lose Jokic in the manner in which it looked yesterday in that loss. The big loss last night was down in the ATL, and it was at the hands of the Rams on the road. They fell back 21-0, down 24-3. They come all the way back. They get a blocked field goal and a return for six, and they're all back in this thing, knotted up at 24. They give up a late field goal here. Not enough time. Almost a great catch by Puka Nacua on the sideline, but it was overturned. And you don't get that opportunity to tie this game up. And I think the point here, Jensen, is they look like they were sleepwalking early. And Matthew Stafford with three picks and the big pick six to begin this game here. You know, when they're falling back 14-0, then ultimately 21-0, they did fight all the way back. And then for that moment of time, they look like the Rams again. But when you lose a game like this now, and you could slip to that sixth spot very easily, that could mean potentially you'd have to go to Philadelphia in that first round. Everybody wants to get that five And it looks like that might be Carolina. Because at this juncture here, if the Falcons win next week against the Saints, forget about the Buccaneer and Panther game. That won't even matter. The Panthers will win the South.
Yeah, remarkable, right? And again, this big reason why we were on the Falcons plus 7.5 yesterday was that Atlanta still had a lot to play for. And I think they knew that in the building, not only auditions for next year, Raheem Morris still coaching for potentially his job moving forward. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you have all that kind of responsibility, if you will, or things hinging, and you're in a standalone spot against arguably the best team in the National Football League. I thought their defense was spectacular in the first half. I agree 100% that offense looked like they were sleepwalking. Very uncharacteristic things here for Matthew Stafford. But boy, when they flipped the switch, Dave, is that a more frightening team? I mean, when they're ready to go, and remember, it's still without Devontae Adams, and they were able to at least get this back to a point where they had an opportunity to win at the end. Feel bad for anyone that had the under 50. That's a tough one to lose, but another yep. 2-unit. We go 5-0 in 2-unit plays this week for my best bets. Falcons plus 7.5 was the final one. So I just felt that they really had the motivation. Kirk Cousins had been really directing, not the best statistical game at all. And then finally, if you had Bijan Robinson to cap off your fantasy championship week, oh my God, what a way to finish it, man. He is one of those greats in all of the National Football League.
I played a longest touchdown over 38.5. That somehow got home with that Bijan Robinson jaunt. I mean, electric to watch in the open field. By the way, not only do we have a massive flip in the MVP markets, as I mentioned here off the top of the show, Matty Stafford drifting all the way from over a $2 betting favorite now to over a $3 betting underdog. Drake May is now minus $4 to win the award with 1 week to go. But we also have a flip of favorites to win the Super Bowl. That is now the Seattle Seahawks are the favorites to win the Super Bowl at plus 475. Rams go to plus 550. Denver is the first choice in the AFC because it does look clear picture that they might be the one seed at 7-1. The Niners, who can still get a one seed themselves, at plus 850. Think about that demarcation. The Seahawks are plus 475. The Niners are plus 850. How big is that game coming up on Saturday in Santa Clara? It's huge. And then the Patriots at 9-1 and the Eagles at 10-1. Jensen, double digits on teams like the Bills. Long shots now are the Ravens and the Packers at 22-1. I mean, these are numbers. And by the way, Panthers, 120-1. Buccaneers, 150-1. I mean, you can understand why those are extreme long shots. That is a major move in the marketplace this morning because of this Falcons win over the Rams.
Stay tuned because Daily Gridiron has some of those double-digit odds that we're going to put with some cross-sport parlays. One other thing to think about now, with the Falcons win, the Saints all of a sudden have a lot to play for because Tyler Shough in that offensive rookie of the year. Look where he is in the odds board this morning as a potential favorite at some books.
Yeah, that is. So he's even money, minus money at some books that you're seeing out there. So a lot of changing numbers. We'll break some of those down with our guest, Matt Humans, coming up next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And Jensen, it was so funny listening to Mitch and Paul at the beginning of their show yesterday on Follow the Money, where Mitch is doing the intro for the show and just says, it's all football. It's just all NFL today. And I was like, man, do I love these days, right? And I know that Matt Humans loves to talk football with the best of them here. Joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Matt Humans 247. Does a great job with the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Of course, we all love our college football too. But Matt, it does feel like as week 17 is now wrapped up in the books. You wake up today and you see that Drake May is now minus $4 to win the MVP because of that glaring performance by Matthew Stafford in the negative. Does that make sense to you that number has flipped $5 overnight?
No, we were talking about this. Tim Murray and I were talking about this live on the primetime show last night during the Rams-Falcons game, and Stafford comes into it, what, about a 140, 150 favorite. odds-on favorite. And during the game, all of a sudden it flips to Drake May, and the number gets bigger and bigger with every mistake Stafford makes, throws another pick. Rams are going to lose the game. Then all of a sudden Drake May is minus 250. It's crazy. I still think it should be more competitively priced, more like Drake May minus 150 or something like that. Stafford did play poorly, but too many voters have recency bias, too. You got to look at the big picture. Stafford's got 42 touchdown passes this season. He's still got better numbers in most categories than Drake May. I think that, May has been outstanding. He's done it against a weaker schedule. There's no doubt about that. Maybe he should be a slight favorite here, but not a $4 favorite. It's just prisoner of the moment, recency bias sort of influence in that line. I still think those awards markets are very unreliable, too, and we've seen that in so many cases where these awards markets are proven to be off. So I think that's a little bit too high.
I'd agree, Matty. Part of the Lewis Ross Constitution is we do not get involved in the subjectivity of these markets for the betterment of this show. We are on the precipice here, my man, of getting the quarterfinals of the college football playoff underway. A big one here in the Lewis household coming up on New Year's Eve. Betting with my heart versus betting with my head. Of course, I love my Ohio State Buckeyes, but I'm telling you, Matty, I got to the window on Miami plus 10. I'm not looking back. I think this Hurricane defense presents all kinds of problems for Julian Sain and the Buckeye offense. Give Indiana its due, but I think, Matt, Miami has the toughest and fastest defense the Buckeyes will face all year long.
I think you're probably right. By the way, Dave said we're going to talk all football. I thought we were going to do a recap of the baseball winter meetings and talk college hoops here today, too. We're not doing that.
We can do that. You want to stick around for another hour? We'd love to have you.
You know what? I agree. This Miami defense is going to cause the Ohio State offense some issues. Ryan Day is taking it back to play calling, obviously, but the play calling was really poor in the Big Ten championship game for Ohio State. And I also think they were a victim of the situation a little bit off the big win over Michigan and didn't play with much urgency in that game against Indiana, and that game meant a lot more to the Hoosiers. But you're right. When you look at the Miami D and how the Hurricanes shut down a Texas A&M offense on the road, and if you've watched Miami for the last several weeks, that's the strength of the team, no question. I don't like Mario Cristobal. I don't like Carson Beck. You talk about the coach-quarterback combination for Miami. But I do like the defense. And I think when you see a low total in a game like this, a total around 41, when you have an explosive offense like Ohio State, that's telling you that this is going to be a tight, low-scoring type of game. And, Jensen, I'm with you. I've missed the 10 a couple times. It's been up there, and it's 9.5 across the board now. But next time the 10 pops, I'm taking Miami and the points because I do think we're going to have a 2017 type of game or, you know, one of those one-score type of games where the Hurricanes are going to have a shot to pull the upset.
Fascinating. I've been waiting for those 10 to repopulate as well, Matt. Can't get them here. They were on Sunday night. You had a brief 10. You wake up, it's back to 9.5. The same thing's been happening with Bama in Indiana a little bit. You saw 6.5s pretty much. And then I don't know if it's the Wes Reynolds bump is going to join us later because he's out there in Pasadena. It's back up to 7 now to the way of the Hoosiers. I don't know that number is going to move off of 7s anymore. But again, not a lot of fluctuation, but still, that half point is rather significant from 6.5 back to 7.
No, I think Wes Reynolds is going to have his own float in the Rose Parade in Pasadena on New Year's Day, too. You know what? I'm happy for Wes. This is a lifetime. He's been waiting a lifetime for Indiana to play in a big game like this, and he finally gets it. I know he's headed over there. And the weather could be a factor. Supposedly, it's going to be rain all day. Imagine that, being in Pasadena. It's always sunny at the Rose Bowl, and it's going to be rainy this time. Well, Alabama's had a lot of trouble running the football effectively, and we've seen that in so many games late in the season. This Indiana defense can shut down the run. As Jensen was just talking about, the Indiana defense, similar to the Miami defense, while Miami can do to Ohio State, Indiana's already done it. And Indiana did it in the Big Ten championship game. I think Ty Simpson's going to have to be spectacular in this game to give Alabama even a shot. Because if the Tide can't run the ball, that just puts so much of a burden on Ty Simpson to make plays through the air. This Indiana team is so fundamentally sound, so well coached by Kurt Cignetti, that I think the Hoosiers are going to win this game and win it by double digits. I have not laid the 7 because I want to lay 6.5. I'm going to bet the money line too at about, you know, minus 235 right now at Circa. It might drop a little bit, but I'm going to be on the Hoosiers on this in this game, no doubt about it. I think Kurt Cignetti, his team is too good on both sides of the ball. And this Alabama team, if you're betting Alabama, I think you're betting it on name recognition, reputation, because if you watch the Tide, they really have not been that impressive for the last month and a half.
I agree, Matt. And let me also underline, it's a perfect segue because as one of the most influential hosts on this network, you can tell me and illuminate why in the heck Texas Tech is flying so far under the radar and as a dog. I have been shaking my head, Matt, with Dave. When that line opened at +1.5, I bet it. It goes to 2.5. I rebet Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Explain to me what I'm missing here. I get it. You know, Oregon has a chance to be explosive at times, but you give up 30-plus to James Madison. And remember, Texas Tech has been one of the best units on both sides of the ball. Please tell me what I'm missing in this matchup.
I'm not sure you're missing anything. Chris DeBear Felica, who is as sharp as it gets on college football, he's on Oregon on this game, and it surprised me a little bit. I thought he was going to be on Tech, just knowing the way he handicaps. Well, I think a lot of the guys who are on Oregon are saying, well, Texas Tech's done this against a weaker schedule. I've heard that more. I've heard Brad Power say that yesterday, too, that the Tech schedule, not as tough as what Oregon's faced, and maybe Tech's numbers are a little bit propped up by the softer schedule. I don't know about that. I bet Oregon to win the – we talked about this on your show a couple weeks ago. I bet Oregon to win the playoff at 8-1 odds, but I was really concerned about this Tech game in the second round. And I'm still concerned about it. I'm a little bit surprised the number's gone up to 2.5 because I do think it's kind of a coin flip game. I'm not sure Tech should be a 2.5 point dog. So this one, I don't have a strong opinion on this game, but I'm a little bit surprised to see Oregon taking the money up to 2.5.
What'd you make after Ole Miss got an easy victory in round one? Pete Golden gets his first win. He's got more college football playoff wins than Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. And they're going to take on Georgia, a team that when Lane Kiffin was there, they had dead to rights, and they couldn't put them away. And then one of the best covers ever if you were on the Georgia side that day. What do you make of the rematch here in the quarterfinal?
I think Kirby Smart's got this Georgia defense playing a lot better late in the season. You've seen it, so many examples of it. You think about that Georgia defense early in the year, it wasn't very good. It's been great late season. I trust Gunnar Stockton a little bit more, and I said this before Mississippi's first-round game. I thought the Rebels were going to roll in the first round. They were going to be energized, fully focused because of Lane Kiffin's situation. The players were anyway to prove they could win without Kiffin. Where they were going to hit the roadblock was going to be in the next round against Georgia. Much tougher defense, better quarterback on the other side. And I think the Bulldogs are going to win this game. There's a 6 out there at South Point, mostly 6.5. Again, I'll be on Georgia here, even though I haven't not laid the points yet. I think this is where Ole Miss runs out of steam.
Matty, last 30 seconds with you. It might be the most important non-college football playoff bowl there is. My Vanderbilt Commodores against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Lay it out for me. Does Diego Pavia go out with a fist pump and go clubbing afterwards?
I think Diego Pavia is going to get humbled by the Iowa defense. I know, Jensen, this is not one. I know you didn't want to hear this. By the way, the most important non-playoff bowl for me was the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. That turned out to be a great one. I think this is going to be a good one, too. You know, Pavia is running into an Iowa defense that allows about 15 points a game, top 10, allowed 20 points to Indiana, held Oregon to 18. I think the Iowa defense is going to keep this one close. I'm taking a 5.5 with the Hawkeyes.
Matt, you're the best. Check him out. Visa Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern here, weekdays on the network. And Matt, Stormy Bonantoni's coming here to Franklin on Friday. So you are now going to be forever the first big Visa star, and we got another Visa star on the way. We're growing the brand here.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
Wow. We are back. VSiN by the books. You want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out the Bowl Game Betting Hub. We've got previews for every single bowl game, plus best bets for those bowl games, college football playoff predictions, playoffs, and projections. We got Hoops Peterson going to be on the program a little bit later on with his college basketball best bets. And later on today, you can check out Zachary Cohen's NBA best bets. Jonathan Davis going to join us as well. NHL, I hope you're on with us tomorrow. NHL picks and props. And Wes Reynolds will be on with us on Tuesday. Today, instead of Wednesdays with Wes, his Century Golf previews are already up. And get your full VSiN Pro access through May 1st of the new year, 2026, for just $79 with the holiday special at VSiN.com/subscribe. A lot of fun having Matt Eumanns on with us in the last segment. I said to Matt as we were going to break that Stormy Bonantoni is going to be making the pilgrimage out here. So it's going to be fun to have her in this very studio on Friday for Money Moves with JVT. So Jensen, you and I, we kind of broke it. We got it opened, right? With Mike Palm and Derek Stevens back in that first day here ever in the show. We've had Matt Eumanns now already out here. You've had a return trip here to Nashville. It feels like VSiN. We're starting to get all of our big time players. Once Stormy gets here, I mean, all hell could break loose with the star power we have here on Friday.
Listen, we love being the lead off to the network. It is great because it is such a unique part of the time of day, especially back west. It takes a motivated individual to get up at that point. So we appreciate our crew out there, everyone that gets up early with us as well, wherever you may be listening and watching. That is going to be a lot of fun. And again, we continue the groundswell, my friend. It's a great spot to go watch. It is a fabulous place to eat as well. I feel like you have dinner there three times a week just to make sure you don't have to do dishes.
Might be closer to five, especially since I almost broke the dishwasher yesterday. I literally knocked it off the moorings. It was unbelievable. Jeez. I felt like a bomb went off, and I went, what am I doing? Why am I walking into the dishwasher? Just turn the light on, and I would have seen that it was down. I'm getting older. Lamar Jackson is not exactly as young as we might think, right? Because you think of Lamar, and like forever he's going to be 22. He's going to be a kid out of Louisville, and he's just faster than everybody else out there in the field. Jensen, all of a sudden you get closer to 30, and these injuries start to be problematic. And maybe that's the issue here going forward. We know that Lamar Jackson has a bad back. I believe Lamar is just 28. I say that tongue-in-cheek. But part of his dynamic ability to be a two-time league MVP is that he is faster than everybody else, is that he does not get touched. And if you take away that cloak of invincibility and movement, I wonder when you're having the question of whether it should be Snoop Huntley and or Lamar Jackson, is that actually a fair question to have if Lamar is at this juncture damaged goods going into the biggest game of the year with the division on the line and you're laying 3.5 points in Pittsburgh?
It's going to be one of those decisions, again, for people just joining us. I raised the thought, if Lamar Jackson doesn't play on Sunday and they lose, Baltimore loses this game, have we seen the final time that Lamar Jackson would suit up as a Baltimore Raven? I think it's a realistic possibility, just knowing the financial implications. You mentioned it, the age of where he is, the odometer, now the significant injuries he's had to deal with, the time that he's missed. And hey, if we're talking recency bias in the MVP race, I think we got to talk recency bias in what we just saw with Tyler Huntley against the Packers defense. I know it wasn't Micah Parsons in there, but you go and hang a 40 burger on the Packers in their barn or in their backyard. I mean, you have to give credence to that. All that being said, just in the matchup alone, think about what Pittsburgh just had playing the Cleveland Browns in the elements there at Huntington Field. And what I think is unique about the skill set is if there's no TJ Watt again, how could you not want to run out a healthy Tyler Huntley against the Steelers? And just knowing the dynamic that you have that Derrick Henry just showed you, I mean, the recipe is pretty simple. Until Pittsburgh shows me that they could stop Derrick Henry or at least stop an RPO option with Tyler Huntley, if I'm Baltimore, that's all I'm doing. I don't need almost Army Navy this thing. You don't need to really throw it to the air unless it's third and medium to try and move the chains. And even then, you still have the element of a healthy, let me underline that, healthy Tyler Huntley versus a Lamar Jackson who we know does not have that quick twitch idea in his mind this year of, I'm thinking about the lower half injury. I'm not just ready to pull the trigger, just boom, tuck it and run the way we've seen him healthy in years past.
Again, the Cowboys did this right before the year. They traded Micah Parsons to the Packers. We saw that essentially for a couple number ones. And, you know, people are like, how can you trade that guy? I understand that, right? But we've seen these type of things happen. But with a quarterback, it's different because of the position. If you're trading somebody, quote unquote, in their prime, is Lamar still in his prime? I think that's going to be the question. I don't think he's falling off a cliff, but you got to keep him upright and keep him healthy. I go back to Steve Young when he was a Buccaneer and he got traded to the Niners. That forced Joe Montana to go to the Chiefs. You remember that? He had a couple good years in Kansas City. So you've seen it before, but it's so rare with the quarterback when you have an MVP, a two-time league MVP that we're talking about at 28 and whether or not, I think it's a fair question that you bring up, whether or not they think this is sustainable, because there have been not one year, many years that Lamar Jackson has not been able to finish the season because of his health. Speaking of health, Justin Herbert, he's been banged up all year long. He's a guy that gets nicked up as the season goes on, year in and year out, because our offensive line can't protect him. Jim Harbaugh has made a command decision and said, all right, yeah, we could still play and win and maybe move up and down, however it shakes out in week 18. We're going to try this now with Trey Lance. We're not going to do it here with Justin Fields, or just with Justin Herbert, rather. Herbert will not play in week number 18. So it's going to be Trey Lance going for the Chargers. They're 12.5-point dogs against the Broncos. If the Broncos win, they get the number one seed. Maybe Trey Lance will look good. He hasn't always looked good in his Cowboy days back in the day, San Francisco days, 13 for him. Opportunity for Trey, and probably a smart move here for the Chargers.
I think so. And honestly, when you look at the potential playoff matchups here, and really depending upon if somehow, some way, you have the Chargers go and beat the Broncos, then you're looking at the Chargers as at least the sixth seed, all depending on what happens with the Texans. I mean, the Texans will play, you know, the Colts, and we'll see kind of where it all shakes out there. But I mean, you know, D'Amico Ryan's not going to rest the starters. They still got a chance to win the division here. So the Jaguars have the Titans. Yeah. You're thinking that, you know, the Jags are going to do whatever they need. Liam Cohen and company, they want to get that three seed. They want to put pressure on New England to potentially leapfrog them and be able to get a two seed. And remember, if all hell does break loose and the Chargers beat the Broncos, as well as the Patriots stub their toe, the Jaguars are your one seed. Like, I mean, that's the unreal, remarkable part here. So still a lot to be decided in the AFC, but to answer your question roundaboutly, I think this goes into the spread. Now, do the Broncos go out and pull a Patriots of a week ago where Mike Vrabel was like, in no uncertain terms, run this thing up, do not allow the Jets to stay around? Do you believe the Broncos would do that? And then, you know, if it's comfortably in hand, do you take everyone out in the fourth quarter and you get it across the line?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is, you can't mess around here with Denver if you're Sean Payton. Like, we're getting the backup quarterback who has not looked good in his three stints so far in the NFL with a chance to get a bye and every game at Mile High there. Yeah, you got to go take care of business, Denver. This is as good as it gets for you. The Raiders have a 94% chance of getting the number one seed. Maybe it goes down a little bit because Max Crosby's back at the facility. So we talked about it last week. I did not think it was a good look for Pete Carroll. And look, I love Pete Carroll. I think he's been an excellent coach in this league. I don't know if he's coming back to Las Vegas or not. But when you saw that with Max, that's when I went, uh-oh, there's a disconnect with the front office, with the coaching staff, and their star player. Now, he is back, and it looks like he's going to play this week. Jensen, clearly he could have played last week. That was a message Max Crosby was sending by sending out videos of him playing basketball while the team's playing football, right? So what do you make of this kind of 180 that all of a sudden we will get Mad Max back for what is still a somewhat meaningful game if they lose it to lock up the number one seed?
First of all, I do think there are some financial implications here. I guarantee you there's language in the contract that if he voluntarily does not show up, that he's going to lose a game check, period. And then also there's going to be, you know, some other things in there. I don't have specifics. Other part of the pride. Max, he wants to play. He wants to win. And it echoed sentiments I heard from Joel Bitonio. It's a great, great quote. He goes, I'll tell you what, I don't blame fans for thinking about the future, but as players in this locker room, every time you go on the field, it's a resume. this is a real sport. It's the NFL. You have to put your best foot forward when you go out there. It's a great quote. We've got it up for those watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, Rogers Sportsnet. But I believe that the crux of that is what Joel Bitonio just said is exactly what Max Crosby's thinking. We're here to play. We're here to win.
How refreshing is that? Big stars making big money. They actually want to play. They want to earn their keep around there. Greg Peterson earns his. We're going to talk with Greg coming up here a little bit later on. Get his best bets in college basketball. Plus, big fallout from Monday Night Football. MVP, the numbers have shifted. We'll update those next.